I want to start my message off this morning with a little story. And there is a disclaimer that I'll give you at the end. And you'll know why. Some of you may have heard this story before. Anyway, it leads into my message this morning. So it was the first day of school, and Miss Jones had her students, and she told them that she wanted them each to stand up and introduce themselves and tell what their dads did for a living. So the first little boy, Bobby, got up and he said, "Good morning, my name is Bobby, and my dad is a policeman and he helps people, he helps protect people." Then little Jimmy stood up and he said, "Good morning, my name is Jimmy, and my dad is a fireman and he helps people, he puts out fire and he helps protect people." And then Mary got up and she said, "Good morning, my name is Mary, and my dad likes to dress up in women's clothes and he puts makeup on and wears high heels and he goes around the house saying really bad things." And Miss Jones said, "Oh, Mary, that's fine, you can sit down." And then the rest of the kids introduced themselves, and there was a break and she saw Mary sitting in the corner by herself. So Miss Jones went over and sat down and she said, "Mary, your dad really doesn't do those things, does he?" And she said, "No, my dad doesn't do those things." And she said, "Well, why did you say that?" And Mary looked down and a lone tear came down her cheek. And she said, "I was ashamed. I was ashamed of what my dad did." And Miss Jones put her arm around Mary and said, "Well, Mary, can you tell me?" And she said, "Yes, my dad raises Herefords." So... and again, the disclaimer, I love Herefords. I don't have anything against them. But it kind of led into my message this morning on faith. And you have to have faith to raise Herefords today. They're good cattle, but for some reason, buyers tend to reject them and you don't get as good a price as you should. So, but anyway, faith. What is faith? And do I have faith? Do I need faith? And how do I get faith? So I started out, I looked in the World Book Dictionary to see what the dictionary defined faith as. There were four references. The first reference they listed was, it is a believing without proof, it's trust, or it's confidence. The second definition was, it's a belief in God or in God's promises. It could be religion or spiritual things. Number three, what a person believes in. Or number four, it was a system of religion such as Christian faith or Jewish faith. So then I looked at what the Bible describes faith as, and I found that in Hebrews 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us that we are to walk by faith, not by sight. The history of the world's progress is the history of the triumphs of faith. Faith does the most unwarranted things. It sings in prison. It fights while still in chains. It works without tools. You can put men of faith in prison, and you'll hear Paul and Silas sing. Sight sings in the morning, when it has escaped from prison, but faith sings at night while it is in prison. You can put the man of faith into the dungeon and bind him with chains, but there without a weapon, he will fight and win a victory, which will be seen in the days to come. Put the man of faith into circumstances devoid of all the forces upon which the man of sight depends, and he will begin to work. And you will discover that his work is that which lasts and that which abides. We may not be able to account for it, but I think no one here would be prepared to contradict the statement. That is, the men of faith who have made the great contributions to the world's progress. It's always the men of faith. And there's many examples of that. Columbus, if he didn't have faith, wouldn't have discovered this country. The people that supported him and funded his expedition, if they didn't have faith that that would happen, That never would have happened. So we ask a simple question is why? Why is it that faith always triumphs? Why is it that the word of faith materializes into the work that lasts? And why is it that the creed of the man of faith vindicates itself into creation? Why is faith victorious? And the answer is, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the proving of things not seen. Things hoped for are always future, and things not seen are not future, but present. The things not seen are in existence now, and how are you going to demonstrate them to be sure of them? By faith. The things hoped for are future. How are we to be sure of them? By faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for because it is the proving of things not seen. Assurance of things hoped for grows out of faith because faith demonstrates and proves to certainty the things not seen. Faith is assurance of things hoped for because it demonstrates and it proves the unseen things. Things hoped for, these are things that lie ahead of us, things that we have not yet come into possession of. There is no assurance of things hoped for unless there is a proving of things unseen. The effect of faith is obedience. And by obedience, in faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house through which he became heir to the righteousness which is according to faith. If you remember when Noah built the ark, it didn't rain. The world was watered by a mist that came up in the morning. So the people at this time didn't know what rain was. And here they had a guy in their midst that started to build a boat. I can imagine the ridicule that he must have received over a long period of time because he's building a boat. And what do you need a boat for? And yet he was faithful. And because of his faith, he was found righteous. And as you remember, two of every kind of animal and his family were saved. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out into a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing whether he went. Here again, because he believed in God and he trusted in God, he left a place where he was comfortable, where he knew, and started on a journey that he didn't know how long it was going to take him. He didn't know where he was going to wind up. And he didn't know until God told him when he was to stop. Let there be in the soul certainty of God, and faith will be obedient in circumstances of contradiction and difficulty. Not only obedience, but endurance. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Hebrews 11:6 tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he is, and that he is, a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is faithful, and if we're seeking him, we're going to receive faith, and it's a growing thing. As we put faith into action, it becomes stronger, and we're able to deal with more difficulties. Faith proves the unseen things not for itself, but for other men. By your faith, you demonstrate the reality of the unseen to the world at large. You bring the unseen things into sight by your faith. By the victory your faith wins, you prove faith and prove the unseen things to the man of the world. And by your triumphs, in the hour of pain and sorrow, by your strength, by the victory with which you overcome, in the pressing battles of life, you make men believe in the God you affirm to be the strength and substance of your life. By realization in personal life and conduct of victory, you prove to others the unseen things. How easy it is to have faith when everything is going good. But it's when things are at their worst that faith shines its brightest. We've been blessed in this nation for a long time. I don't think any of us probably have had our faith tested that much. But as we heard in the prayer this morning and the concerns for our nation, we may be coming into a time when our faith is tested more and more. Our history is, of this country anyway, is trying to be rewritten. They're trying to take Christ out of Christmas to make it just another holiday. And so, are we ready? Are we ready for the coming times? Is our faith strong enough to endure as Noah's did when we're being made fun of, maybe when our worship is being taken away from us? I might add here that the opposite of faith is unbelief. In Matthew 17, we find a story of a man who brought his son to the disciples. And the son had a demon. He was epileptic. He threw himself into fires, tore at himself. And the disciples were unable to heal the son. And so they brought the young man to Jesus. And Jesus healed him, casting out the demon. A little later on in the story, the disciples asked Jesus why they couldn't cast out the demon. And Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move here and there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible to you." If we are to fulfill the purpose of God created each of us for, we must have faith. So whether it be in the individual life or in the life of the church or in the life of the world, faith is victory. In view of all the battles and all the sorrows and all the difficulties, as the father of the young man said, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." The same is true for us. Many of us have gone through some tough times, or if we haven't already, we will. It's part of life. We need to trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what faith is believing. To see those things that we can't see through His Spirit. And faith grows as we learn to handle little things. It prepares us for the bigger things that we have. And again, we've been to a study here at Kadoka on basically marriage. But from the very first time, it starts out by, it's not all about you. And the same thing in the story of faith, it's not about us. Our faith we need to live by. And there's many different kinds of faith. When I started studying for this, it would take a long time to get through all of it. But I wanted to go through this faith as for us believers. And so we have times where we struggle a little bit, but each time we pray for something and God answers our prayer, it strengthens our faith. And I began with a story. I'd kind of like to end with a story. It's not the one I ended with at the other places, but I want to share this anyway. My wife's smiling. She's probably trembling, not knowing what I'm going to say. Now, this is a story. It's not about a prodigal son. It's about a prodigal's daughter. And there was a couple who had a young daughter, and she grew up in their house, was a Christian, went to church, did Bible studies, went off and got married and had a couple kids. Spent Christmas with her folks. And then one day, for reasons nobody knows, she just quit. Told her family that she had to find herself and she needed time, and just all contact was lost. And it was a blow to the young couple. They struggled with it, not knowing why. They had thoughts maybe it was a cult or whatever, but a lot of time went by, 2, 3, 4 years. They continued to pray every morning for their daughter, just as I'm sure the man in the story in the Bible, the prodigal son, did. And they kept watching for her, not hearing, not knowing if she was sick or if she was struggling financially. It was hard. But they continued to pray every day that the Lord would be with her, that he was watching over her and that he'd protect her, and that at some point in time that God would let them know that she was okay. So after about 4 years, their grandsons were playing a football game, and they decided they'd go and watch. And so they went, and here this huge stadium filled with people, and they walked about halfway up, probably about in the middle of the stadium, and sat down, and the game was starting, and the wife said, "Look, that's our daughter." And the husband looked over there, and he said, "Are you sure? You think so?" She said, "Yeah, I think that's our daughter." And sure enough, it was. And they jumped up and went over and sat down, had a great conversation and hugged her. You know, it's not the end of the story, but after 4 years, this was something that the parents needed, because she was okay and she visited with them and she seemed to be happy. And just the faith and those power, that power of prayer, is so comforting. We don't know what the answer is going to be, how that story is going to be fulfilled, but we still trust. And it was God's goodness. That allowed Mary and I to see our daughter and to know she's okay. Prayer does work. And I think because we've trusted in him, we continue to trust that we will have Nikki home one of these days for Christmas or whatever. But God's working in her life as he's working in ours. So thank you very much this morning, and I'd like to close just with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we praise you and thank you for faith. Father, forgive us for our unbelief, and I just pray that we'd continue to grow. Not for us just alone, but Lord, that your message would be conveyed to the world, that through our faith you would be glorified in all instances, and that our faith becomes the part that no matter what happens, what physically becomes of us or our loved ones, we know you are in charge. We look forward to a better place, a time where there will be no tears, there will be no sorrow, there will be no difficulties. And that's trust, that's faith. Father, I just continue to pray that you'd strengthen us and guide us, that we might glorify you in all we say and do this day and every day. We give you the glory now and ask that you'd continue to be with us as we worship you together, to encourage one another and to pray for one another. In Jesus' name, amen.